Please have a seat and be welcome. I love that hymn, and as we sing it this morning, how fitting. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen? And that is why we celebrate this morning. That's why we've come together, 100 years of God's faithfulness. Well, good morning, everyone. It is so great to see all of you. For those that I have not met yet, my name is Adam, and I have the joy, I have the privilege of being the site pastor here at KMB Church. And this morning, as we celebrate 100 years of God's faithfulness to this, his local church, to this family of believers, it's my honor to share from God's word with you. Like many of you, I've been looking forward to this weekend. I've had 100 years to look forward to it, and it's here. And it's fun. It's fun to celebrate. It's fun to remember and to look back. And it's fun to look forward. And I think God has certainly created and wired us to celebrate. And we see that. We see that in Scripture. We see that God actually calls us to celebrate. He establishes festivals. He realizes that it's an important part of our lives and even our relationship with him. And we can see that so clearly in the book of Leviticus. And a lot of you are going, uh-oh, Leviticus? Oof, that is a book with a lot of rules. And that misses the point of Leviticus. But this morning, I want to take a look at chapter 23, where God establishes these festivals of celebration and calls us to them. There's three times a year when all of God's people, all of Israel, was called to gather. They would gather to celebrate the Passover, a celebration of when God rescued the people out of bondage in Egypt. There was the Feast of Weeks, also known as Pentecost, celebrating God's Spirit descending upon Mount Sinai, bringing his law and holiness to his people. And there's the Feast of Shelters, or Tabernacles. It was held at the time of the grape harvest, and it was a celebration to remember when they had escaped from Egypt, and they were in this in-between place and had no permanent homes, and they lived in tents, but God provided for them daily. And here is a description of that festival. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, the festival of shelters to the Lord begins on the 15th day of this seventh month and continues for 7 days. There is to be a sacred assembly on the first day. You're not to do any work. You are to present a food offering to the Lord for 7 days. On the eighth day, you are to hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You are not to do any daily work." A full week of celebration and feasts and no work. Sound good? Sounds good. That's why I'm taking next week off, actually. God knows how to celebrate, and he calls his people to do so. He knows that dates matter. He knows that we need to remember important events and take joy in them. These festivals, they were important, and they served a purpose. Each of these festivals, the people of God were called to gather, to come together in God's presence and celebrate who God is and what he has done. And they're reminded of his chesed, his loving kindness, his covenant faithfulness. So they were a time of celebration and a time of turning back to God, to recognizing that all good things come from him, and that as his people, we are completely and utterly dependent upon him. It's a time of remembering his faithfulness and responding with faithful obedience. The festivals were a time that involved confession, sacrifice, and reconciliation with God and with others, and they were a time to delight in God's presence because he is with us. And so today, as we celebrate, it's God's faithfulness that we gather to recognize and to respond to because he has done great things. Amen? Amen. On May 25th, 1925, was the first gathering of Mlochna Mennonite Brethren Church. And since that time, there has been so much to celebrate. There's been multiple church plants, the establishment of a Bible college and camp and other initiatives, along with our sister churches in Ontario and Canada and beyond. There's been the sending of missionaries. But what I celebrate most is the changed lives. Literally thousands of lives changed forever by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I celebrate his kingdom presence here in Kitchener and the activity of the Holy Spirit, calling people into the family of God, bringing salvation and his kingdom, and sending us out as witnesses to the world. On this anniversary, our theme is Great is Thy Faithfulness. If we take an honest look at the last 100 years, we know that it hasn't all been easy or pretty. There have been great times of flourishing and fruitfulness, and there have been hard times. There have been times when we have had conflict and division within the church, where people have been hurt. We are humans, and that means that even as a church, maybe especially as a gathering of people, we need God's grace. So hear me well. I am so thankful for all those who have gone before us, the faithful saints who are still with us and have been a part of this church for many decades. Even today, we are seeing answers to prayers that have been offered up to God and still are for generations. I've spoken to many people here who have been walking with God for 40, 50, 60, 80 years. And there's some themes that keep coming up around KMB. We've heard some of them in the testimony that was shared before the service began. One is how KMB has been their home, filled with people who in Christ became their family. That's been my experience as well over these last 6.5 years. After 23 years at our Waterloo site at WMB, I was called to minister here. I was a bit hesitant. What would that mean, walking away from the Waterloo site, which had been my home, which had cared for me so well? But I still remember walking in those doors that first Sunday, being warmly greeted, both by the congregants here, as well as the Holy Spirit himself. And all I could think was, wow, what is going on? I'm home. Since then, this has become my family, and Michelle and I could not be more grateful. This local church is made up of brothers and sisters in Christ, a family with all its foibles and beauty. Another theme that comes up when asked about God's faithfulness and how that's been revealed here at KMB is the celebration of answered prayers. And one thing that typically comes up is how God's faithfulness has shown through, particularly in the difficult times. Times when disunity or losing our way or even sin has caused damage to this community. Times when KMB has been called to die to self. It's been in those times that as a church that we have prayed and we have sought the Lord and he has rescued us. And that's why we celebrate God's faithfulness, because he is the hero of this story. In many ways, we are not so different than the Israelites. The expression, "Great is thy faithfulness," it comes right out of Lamentations chapter 3. And that's where I want to draw our attention to this morning. And you might be thinking to yourself, Adam, you've made a horrible mistake. This is a celebration Sunday, and that's the wrong book. But I don't think it is. And I think you'll agree with me as we take a look at this. Yes, Lamentations was written about a people with a very long history, a history that we have also become a part of. They had seen so much good, and they had also experienced God's discipline and the consequence of their own unfaithfulness. Jeremiah the prophet is writing about that. He's reflecting both on Israel's current hardship and exile, as well on his own not-so-great experience. He writes his book, Lamentations, which expresses all of this, all these emotions, his heart, right out there in the open before God, which is a great example of how we should respond to God's invitation to come before him with all that we are. And right in the middle of this book is what we're going to focus on today. And it's no accident that Jeremiah places these verses dead in the middle, because this is a literary device to draw ourselves to the point of all that he is saying. This book was written to ensure that we would know that for Jeremiah, this was the truth upon which he is landing. And this is what he declares after reflecting on the great hardship of both his people and himself. He calls to mind the hope that he has. And this is the reason for the hope. He says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. Can you hear it? Can you hear the tension that would have been in Jeremiah's voice, in his heart, as he writes these words, depending on a faithful God in the midst of suffering? And Jeremiah has this hope, and he rests in it because he knows who God is. Right now, we're in the midst of a series exploring how God reveals himself to us. It focuses on a pivotal text from the book of Exodus when the Lord shares his name with Moses and explains his character and the truth of who he is. And this is the God that Jeremiah is calling out to and placing his hope in. This God who says that this is his name, the Lord. The Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love for 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but he will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the consequence of the father's iniquity on the children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. And when Moses hears these words, he falls down in worship of the one true God and worships him for who he is. Jeremiah, many years later, is experiencing this very reality that both God's faithful love to 1,000 generations as well as justice to the third and fourth are true at the same time, and that by God's grace, they have not perished. This church, KMB, has also experienced God's mercy, yeah? And thank God, his mercies never end. And we will need them again and again. Our text points this out. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. We celebrate God today because he is always faithful. Amen? Here, Jeremiah, he makes this statement that the Lord himself, not other things, not other outcomes, but the Lord himself is his portion. And it reminds me of Psalm 16, where David, King David, writes this. He says, Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. The interesting part is that Jeremiah, at this point when he writes Lamentations, has nothing. He's a prophet to a nation whose capital city and place of worship has been sacked by the Babylonians, and the people have been driven into exile. His own life has been one of heartbreaking affliction and suffering. And King David, on the other hand, is a king over a flourishing nation. And yet for both Jeremiah and for David, God himself is the blessing and the inheritance. David, in all of his wealth and splendor, says, "You are my Lord, and I have nothing good beside you." And Jeremiah, in his lamentation, declares, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him." And this too needs to be our story. In times of abundance and flourishing and joy, let us not be distracted by anything, but to remember that it is God who is our portion and our blessing and our inheritance. And in times of suffering and hardship, to remember that God is our portion and our inheritance and our blessing, and he is good and faithful. Right now, many of us reflect on where we are, where we have been. And there may be grief, and there is thanksgiving, and we can celebrate, and we should. We should be thankful for God's activity in our midst, for answered prayers, for exciting opportunities, but we never forget that it is God who is the true blessing. That for 100 years, we have been blessed to gather as God's people in his presence, to seek God together, to sing his praises, and know the one true God. Jeremiah declares that the Lord is good. That's the next part of this text. He says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is still young." We, this generation, follows a long tradition of listening to God and striving to be obedient. How good is it that God invites us into his presence to wait on him, to wait to be rescued by him and brought into his kingdom, and to submit to God. Yes, we all like the word submit. Another translation says it like this: "And it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of discipline." And it's true. And I look back and I say, yes, an earlier age would have been better. It has been a joy this weekend to look back on all that God has done in this, his church, over the last 100 years, his faithfulness, and it's exciting to think of what may come in the next 100 years, as we know that God will always be faithful. We have a seal found in the archive room of KMB Church, and on that, it quotes Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? This is the God that we follow, that we can place our trust in. And as we gather here today, the invitation is for us together to submit ourselves to God, to recognize that he is our portion today and our inheritance and true blessing. And like the Israelites gathering for festivals so many years ago, to remember God's loving kindness and his covenant faithfulness. Now, today, we do the same, and we're called to respond by turning back to God and recognizing that all good things come from him, that as his people, we're completely dependent upon him. A time of remembering his faithfulness and responding in faithful obedience to be God's church. We carry the same faith as those who have gone before us. As we respond to the call of being a Bible-based, Spirit-led, mission-focused local church, We're called to be his family right now and forever, and to be part of his mission to share the good news of his kingdom to the world around us. This is no small invitation or blessing. We get to gather together in his presence as his people and bless one another, to sing his praises, to be reminded and encouraged in our faith. We get to grow together in our knowledge of the one true God. We get to mature together, to be transformed into the image of Christ, both as individuals and as a people. We get to serve together, to care for one another, to care for Christ's bride, his church, and to truly be brothers and sisters, a family that demonstrates God's love in a way that makes his kingdom real here on earth. And he calls us to go, to carry the good news of Jesus to the world around us in word and in action, to do this every day. There are so many ways that we gather, that we grow, that we serve, and we go, whether that's Sunday mornings and smaller groups throughout the week. The call to live like Jesus did and practice spiritual disciplines. And to be in our neighborhoods, to partner with local agencies in serving our community, to be in relationship with our community, locally and globally. My prayer is that we would respond to God's faithfulness with humility, with gratitude, obedience, and faithfulness to him. Faithfulness to the God who loves us, who loves the whole world so much that he would choose to die for us, to bring us forgiveness, to bring us into his kingdom so that we could have life and life to the full. The good news of Jesus has been given to us and given to us to live out and to share in light of our faithful God. Over many years, there have been many prayers at KMB for this church and for our city. And God hears them all. He cherishes them all. And we keep praying them. And this morning, as the worship team comes back up, I'd like to give us a moment of silence. I invite you to offer up your prayers of thanksgiving, your prayers of petition and intercession for our church, for yourselves, for this city, for the world. And then I'll lead us in praying as Jesus taught us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.